Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. I'm Dr. Richard Friend, and today we're discussing food triggers with Suzanne Henson, a registered dietitian at University Medical Center. She explains that stress, boredom, and loneliness can cause some people to eat, even when they're not hungry. She offers strategies people can use to try and overcome food triggers. Welcome to Health Matters with your host, Mike Royer.
We welcome you to another segment of Health Matters. My name is Mike Royer, and we're joined today once again by Suzanne Henson, a registered dietitian and nutritionist at University Medical Center here at the University of Alabama. Suzanne, it's good to see you again.
So good to see you again, Mike.
Tell us today about something I've never heard of before, food triggers. What in the world is a food trigger?
Well, Mike, we all have, just as human beings, we all have foods that may be harder to manage, okay? And when I meet with patients, and I've done this for the 22 years I've been a dietitian, is to really talk with people about, are there certain foods that are a little bit harder to watch portion sizes? And so kind of knowing which foods those are for you, and it varies by the individual, then that can help you kind of maybe manage your habits a little bit better.
I wonder if we walked up to 10 people and said, what food can you not keep around or you'll eat it all? I wonder if ice cream, which would be on my list, or peanut butter might be on other people's list. But do you find a wide variance in those foods? It might be something as simple as a bowl of cereal. They eat too much cereal. It can be any kind of food, I suppose.
It can be any kind of food.
Okay.
And it's just, I think it's interesting to look at your own habits and or to work with someone such as a registered dietitian, nutritionist, who can help you identify that. Frequently, I'll have patients say that they're going to give up certain things, or they're going to clean out the refrigerator, clean out the pantry, and they'll never eat a certain food again. And I try to steer them away from that.
Because it's too lofty of a goal. I love vanilla ice cream with that cheap imitation butterscotch on top. It's not great for me, but if I said I'm never going to eat that again, that's a goal I'm probably not going to reach.
You're probably not going to keep that. And think about, I mean, this is life, okay? That bowl of ice cream with that butterscotch topping, that would be something if when you plan to enjoy it, you plan to really enjoy it. So make it intentional.
Enjoy it and then plan it for another month down the road, not the next night and the night after that and the night
right.
after that.
Right, and I think it's just kind of examining your own habits and saying, okay, what is it for me and how can I best manage this so I can still enjoy it, but my big wish for patients is to enjoy something but feel no guilt. No guilt is key.
What's the damage when you feel guilt? It affects you in other ways.
Right. You beat yourself up. And why should you beat yourself up over food?
Okay? Life's pretty short.
Life is short. And that's what when patients say, well, I'm going to go on a 2-week fast and I'm not going to eat certain foods. I'm like, oh, please don't do that.
It's just not the way to control weight or be healthy at all.
No.
You said something before we began that was fascinating to me. You said when someone says to you, I'm addicted to this particular item, you believe them.
I believe that anything that gives you pleasure or that gives you a sense of escape can be an addiction, and that can be a variety of things. It doesn't have to be alcohol or cigarettes or drugs. I think it could be anything.
I was pretty addicted to nicotine 30 years ago. Unfortunately, got over that and rid of that.
Congratulations.
But are people addicted to fatty foods, sweets, chocolate? Some people, I'm not a chocolate fan, but some people just cannot leave chocolate alone. You feel that mentally it truly is an addiction as real illegal drugs could be?
I think it is. And in my years of practice, and I think also we have to take a look at the food industry and what's available to us. I mean, there are so many thousands upon thousands of new foods that hit the supermarkets, hit restaurants every year. And so we're surrounded by a lot of new things to try.
You're a smart person. I always enjoy interviewing you because you give us so much good information. You can tell me, don't beat myself up. You can tell me, don't go on a 2-week fast. But how do you, as you counsel people, and I know you do, how do you get them over that hump of believing you and trying what you tell them to do?
Well, what I ask them to remember is, is there any other area of your life in which you're perfect? Are you always the perfect mother, the perfect father? Are you always a perfect spouse or daughter or son? No, we're not. We're not perfect in any area of your life. So give yourself some grace. And the key is, please don't feel guilt about your choices. Let's just learn to manage.
How analytical are you in instructing people or trying to help them help themselves? On your birthday, you ought to be able to have cake and ice
cream. Right.
but you don't want to have cake and ice cream every single day. Do you tell people, keep a schedule, keep a diary, say, I did this today and it's my weakness, I love it, I'm not doing it again for 30 days, or do you not tell them to think about it that hard?
Well, or you can do some simple things. I mean, yes, you can write things down. And for some patients will tell me having pen and paper actually makes it more meaningful to them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For others, they're more of a visual person. And so taking photos of what your meals, what your snacks, your beverages, what those look like. And so you can start to see patterns of behavior.
I know from other segments we've done, I assume you continue to encourage people to read in the grocery store. Look at the ingredients,
right.
Calories, fat
absolutely.
Content, because sometimes we ignore that and we're taking in a lot more than we really should.
Well, you know, food marketing is fantastic. They do a great job, yeah. Marketers do. And so take a look at the products and ask yourself, does it fit your lifestyle? And if you're managing a condition such as diabetes or any kind of GI problem, you know, take a look at the ingredient list and is that going to fit the condition you're trying to manage?
We know smoking is bad for you and will shorten your life. We know overindulging in alcohol is not good for you. When you talk to people, do you remind them, whatever age they are, you're going to live longer and feel better as long as you live if you'll take control of what you consume? Do you try to give that long-term guidance as well?
My key is, again, is I don't want anyone to beat themselves up, to feel guilt. And yeah. So if you learn to be kind of more intentional with what you're doing, then you won't feel that guilt and you won't get yourself in a cycle of just beating yourself up and promising yourself that next week things are going to be different.
And others beating you up doesn't help. If someone says, wow, you've put on weight, that's just discouraging. And if anything, do what our mothers taught us, don't say anything or say something encouraging.
Right, exactly. I would encourage people, don't ever comment on somebody's weight because you never know what's going on in
sure,
their lives.
Sure.
For example, they may be managing a condition that's caused weight loss unintentionally, yeah. And it's not a positive thing.
Yeah. You're available to folks.
Oh, absolutely.
Through the university, people can reach out to Suzanne Henson and get guidance, get advice, sit down for a half hour and talk to you. You make appointments like that, right?
Absolutely. And I don't just treat the University of Alabama community or mm-hmm. patients of University Medical Center. Mm-hmm. I also see patients from the surrounding community and all of West Alabama.
Does your practice also include young people? If a young person has eating disorders, eating problems, counseling for that is critical as well.
I meet with a lot of children, and yeah. Parents will say to me, we want to kind of work on some things now so we're not, you know, sending them off to college or to the rest of their future with some habits that are going to be a problem. I do try to look at what the heart of the issue is, yeah. And if it looks like it is a clinically significant eating disorder, then I refer those to specialists here and in Birmingham.
And you're especially thinking of bulimia, things like that.
Anorexia. That's,
those are dangerous things.
Those are deadly things.
Yeah, very good. Well, you're great to talk to. We appreciate your expertise, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mike, and now I know what to get you for the holidays.
Exactly.
It might be a jar of butterscotch topping.
Okay. An inexpensive gift that keeps on giving.
Okay,
Suzanne
fantastic.
Henson, thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Mike.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit umc.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, and Fayette.